A massive study reveals more bad news for the COVID vaccinated. Further blackmail secrets of Jeffrey Epstein's surface, and a new vaccine technology, which is closer than you think, poses a direct threat to your bodily autonomy and potentially your health. Those stories and more tonight. I'm Maria Z of ZMedia.com, and this is Vigilant Fox's Media Blackout. Remember just over 2 years ago when people were being vilified in the media and by governments for raising concern over the safety of the COVID injections? Being censored on all platforms, being debanked for talking about it, targeted by police? Well, we should remember, especially because France is now seeking to make criticism of those injections and other drugs illegal through a new law. Article 4 is central to the new law, which was first deleted but then reinstated. This creates a new criminal offence and criminalises the request to stop or refrain from therapeutic or prophylactic medical treatment, as well as the request to use practices that are presented as therapeutic or prophylactic. This means that any resistance to mRNA treatment and any other corporate medical methods can be criminalised in the future. The new laws could punish an individual with up to 3 years imprisonment and 45,000 euros. But this shouldn't surprise us. This is what the United Nations, through their medical dictatorship arm known as the World Health Organization, is wanting to implement in every single country. This is what the One Health approach they continue to sprout as though every single human can have a single approach to their health really means. We say what you inject or ingest, and you do it. This rush to criminalise any criticism of Big Pharma comes at the time when the WHO is seeking to dominate every country's health systems and enforce the pharmaceutical products that the pharmaceutical companies that largely make up the WHO's funding demand we keep taking. They plan on doing this through their pandemic accord and the amendments to the international health regulations. But they have a problem, because simultaneously the world is becoming more aware of just how dangerous the last product they mandated is. In fact, the largest vaccine study ever has revealed what the conspiracy theorists have said all along. The new study conducted by the Global Vaccine Data Network, GVDN, looked at a cohort of 99 million vaccinated individuals. The risks of developing 13 adverse events of special interest were compared to what was expected based on pre-COVID-19 vaccination healthcare data, or in simpler terms, if you did not receive the jab. Despite claims that the increased risks of developing such conditions are small and extremely rare, it's best to take a look for yourself. This image is via the Daily Mail, and as you can see, swelling of brain and spinal cord 3.78 times, blood clots 3.23 times, Guillain-Barre syndrome 2.49 times, myocarditis 2.78 times, myocarditis from Moderna first dose 3.48 times. We go down the list, you can actually see with Moderna, AstraZeneca, first and second doses, swelling of the brain and spinal cord, almost four times, 400% increased risk, first dose of Moderna. Myocarditis, 3.48 times increase from the first dose. You can see that extensive breakdown there. Del Bigtree has had a thing or two to say about it. Let's take a listen.
And they're not even talking about cancer, which we've been reporting on. But how about this? You're like, well, I mean, only six times the amount of myocarditis. But if you add that six times to the two or three times for myocarditis, and what about the blood clots and stroke? And that's, I mean, what happens? They're not just six by themselves. They all stack up. What are we, like 20 times the amount of risk for getting totally jacked up by this vaccine? And they're only just starting the list. And I trust me, the scientists did everything they could to make this as conservative as they possibly could. Because no one wants to be responsible for, God forbid, saying we need to recall a vaccine.
I think it's worthwhile going through this particular posting from Steve Kirsch, largest COVID vaccine study ever. What you're not being told, someone is lying to you big time. The quick summary of what he's provided, of what the article would like you to believe, is that they looked at the medical records of over 99 vaccinated individuals. They compared observed versus expected rates of 13 selected adverse events of special interest across neurological, hematological, and cardiac outcomes. They only looked for 42 days after the shots, and he adds there sarcastically, since everyone knows you can't get adverse events after 42 days, They didn't evaluate mortality due to the shot, and they found clearly increased risk of the various adverse events, but the end conclusion is that the risks after COVID injection are far higher, so people should take the shots. This is unbelievable. And he says, I don't know a single cardiologist whose business dropped after the COVID vaccines rolled out. Do you? As usual, they aren't allowed to share the data, so you have to take their word for it. There are no benefits of the COVID vaccine, as Steve Kirsch says, not any that he's aware of. And the risk of the vaccine is interesting to note. What the paper says, it's only selected 13 adverse events to evaluate. But the CDC has determined that there are over 500 adverse events that were more serious than myocarditis. They just forgot to tell people that. And he says, here are the actual numbers from this excellent article by Josh Guetzko. After dropping the new COVID-era AEs, adverse events, there are 503 adverse events with PRRs larger than myocarditis and 552 with PRRs larger than pericarditis. This means that 66.4% of the adverse events had a bigger safety signal than myocarditis and 77.3% were larger than pericarditis. And he provides links to that. Well, there are links to that Excel file here within the article. Now, why is it important we keep talking about this? Well, as we said before, France is the first country of many to attempt to make any criticism of Big Pharma's products a criminal offence. If we don't speak about this now, we face the risk of future mandated products that could kill or harm more people than the 17 million confirmed deaths from the COVID injections, and those are conservative numbers. With no possibility of speaking about the fact that a future mandated medication is killing people yet again. There could be more death, more disability next time around. It's also important because the mainstream media all over the world this week has been covering this study. Now, whilst they downplay the adverse effects and pretend that a permanent heart condition that will shorten your life is somehow mild and nothing to be concerned about and COVID could have been worse, even those media outlets wouldn't be able to report in that mild manner if laws like the one in France start to be introduced on a mass scale. And they will definitely try it, mark my words. But there's another paper that was published recently which is making waves, and right on cue, they're trying to stop that from becoming widespread knowledge too. The paper titled COVID-19 mRNA Vaccines, Lessons Learned from the Registrational Trials and Global Vaccination Campaign concludes, in summary, that the emergency use authorization was given despite many key trial findings being either misreported or omitted entirely from published reports, and that a multitude of adverse events have been wrongly attributed to COVID rather than the injections. For the majority, vast majority, of adults under the age of 50, the perceived benefits of the mRNA boosters are profoundly outweighed by their potential disabling and life-threatening harms. Potential harms to older adults appear to be excessive as well. Given the well-documented SAEs and unacceptable harm-to-reward ratio, the authors are urging governments to endorse and enforce a global moratorium on these modified mRNA products until all relevant questions pertaining to causality, residual DNA, and aberrant protein production are answered. Nathaniel Mead is an epidemiologist and public health research specialist. He's one of the authors of that paper, and he joins us now. Nathaniel Mead, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here, Maria.
It's great to have you. This is a paper now that has gone worldwide. Even the mainstream media is talking about it. So we want to get into that. We want to get into your findings. But first of all, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your history?
So my training is in the biological sciences and also in what's called nutritional epidemiology. So I went to a very high-level school, the University of North Carolina School of Public Health. I was in the doctoral program, completed my doctoral studies in epidemiology and biostatistics, applying that to the field of nutrition. And so I learned a lot about how to interpret studies and to understand research at a very deep level. And then last year, I became involved in a scientific discussion with a group of international scientists, and we had wonderful discussions about the COVID-19 mRNA vaccines. We decided that we would make this a paper at one point, and And these discussions were initiated by Steve Kirsch, who, as you probably know, has challenged people to debates for quite some time. So we were trying to support his debate process. But in the process of doing that, I became interested in writing this paper. And so it's a comprehensive review paper, and it's really telling the story of the last 3 to 4 years, really the last 3 years, 2021, 2022, 2023, from a scientific perspective, and looking at the vaccines in particular, and the safety issues was the primary focus.
What alerted you to the fact that there were safety issues with these injections?
Well, I knew from the beginning because, you know, the trials were only 2 to 3 months long. So we knew that there was no way that you could prove safety in that short a time frame, because the previous standard for showing that a vaccine was safe was somewhere between 10 and 15 years. So to go in 2 to 3 months with the rationalization that it was an emergency situation, still it didn't justify saying that it was safe. So we knew that it hadn't been shown to be safe. And what happened in the course of the trials was that much of the adverse impact of these vaccines was hidden from the public. And that was only revealed afterwards in the analyses that were done, or what are called reanalyses of the data. So those reanalyses showed some very, very bad things that happened, even in these trials, which involved relatively healthy populations. So you wouldn't think that they would show really serious adverse events, but they did.
Well, let's talk about the paper published in the NIH, on the NIH website, COVID-19 mRNA vaccines, lessons learned from the registrational trials and global vaccination campaign. Talk us through some of the findings of this research, Nathaniel.
Yeah, so I'll just give you some highlights, but basically, you know, when you do a review like this, you want to try to focus on the most relevant and the most rigorous studies. And in the original Pfizer trials, again, much was underreported, you know, so things that should have been reported were kept hidden from the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, when it went through the rapid authorization process. So after the authorization process and after the worldwide distribution of these essentially experimental injections, these reanalyses showed a number of just really striking things. One was a reanalysis by Joseph Freeman and his colleagues, which showed a statistically significant 36% higher risk of serious adverse events. These include deaths, life-threatening conditions like heart attacks and strokes, brain hemorrhages and embolisms and huge blood clotting issues. All of that 36% higher in the vaccine group compared to the placebo. Then there was the same study showed a fourfold higher risk of what are called serious adverse events of special interest. And those are things that you might anticipate being associated with the vaccines. And they showed that those were four times higher than the risk of COVID-19 hospitalizations. And that was with the Pfizer trial. With the Moderna trial, it was twice as high. That major analysis was presented to the FDA to try to get them to reconsider the distribution. Actually, it was presented before the authorization process. So the FDA had that information. And then after authorization, when this paper was finally published in a peer-reviewed medical journal, they also announced that the risk of these serious adverse events was 1 out of 800 injections, which is quite dramatic, because prior to that, the average sort of threshold for accepting whether something was unsafe was about 1 to 2 out of a million injections Okay.
So if we just look at a graph from the paper, for example, I think that this accurately represents.
Well, this is actually just looking, that's a VAERS graph. So that's a vaccine adverse reporting system, adverse events reporting system. And that's simply showing that compared to the flu shots, the risk of autoimmune disease is 800%. There was an 800% increase when you look at these timeframes that are, you know, in the case of the COVID shots, of course, it's a really short time frame. But you look at the increase in autoimmune disease, it's dramatically higher in the COVID-19 vaccinations. Another major example was this group, Corinne Mickles and her colleagues. They found also a fourfold increase in serious cardiac events, heart attacks, acute coronary syndrome, and various other heart problems in the vaccine group compared to placebo. Again, and that was statistically significant. So when you see something like that, it should have been grounds for announcing, okay, this is a critical safety signal. These things need to be taken off the market immediately because they're causing serious heart problems. And we now know, that many young people have suffered from sudden cardiac arrest on the sports field. You know, we've seen live events where people drop suddenly. And that's happening at 10 times higher rate in public sports events than happened prior to 2020. When you look at the annual rate, and that's based on really good data. Okay. So these are absolutely critical things. I mean, there are large safety reporting systems, both in US and Europe, that reported close to 8 million of these vaccine related adverse events in these two major studies. And, you know, it's just mind-boggling to me that we continue to see these large government agencies justify the distribution of these drugs. I mean, these are essentially drugs because they are stimulating, they're planting a genetic code into the body, which is then distributed throughout the body. That's the mRNA encapsulated lipid vehicle delivery system. And it goes throughout the whole body and it's creating inflammation, which everyone knows inflammation, if it's chronically stimulating the inflammation in the body, that's going to promote a wide range of diseases. But on top of the inflammation, it's also causing a lot of immune dysfunction, very serious dysfunction of the immune system. And that's why it's creating autoimmune disease at very high rates. And that's all well documented. It's not even speculation. It's causing autoimmune disease at a very high rate, especially in the elderly. And then it's causing cancer in people of all ages. Now, that cancer issue is, of course, a lot more controversial, but we have good data showing that that's what's happening.
The media is suggesting that a lot of these issues are just simply due to long COVID, Nathaniel. Your research would suggest otherwise?
Yeah, I mean, the reason that COVID has been scapegoated, you know, so conveniently is that, you know, first of all, it's we had the long COVID narrative early on in 2020. It started to come up as a narrative, and that carried on after the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccines were distributed. But what people don't realize is that the spike protein, which comes from infection with the coronavirus, is also what happens with the vaccine. It's generated by the vaccine, but the spike protein associated with the vaccine is far more toxic and it's far more inflammatory. So this is a really key thing. When you are injected, if you then get exposed to the coronavirus, even though it's, you know, Omicron is a relatively mild coronavirus now, your chances of having an extreme kind of long COVID symptomology is very, very strong because the vaccine interacts with the coronavirus infection. And that's what creates the illusion that the coronavirus is what's doing it, because people test positive for PCR and they think with the PCR test, and then they think, oh, well, I had a COVID infection, now I've got long COVID, right? But they don't realize that it's the vaccine that's actually causing this. We document that in the paper. It's very clear. So that's one aspect of the interaction. But the other aspect of it is the heart attacks and the very serious adverse life-threatening effects are also triggered by that interaction. So it creates the illusion that the infections are actually still causing problems. And that's the narrative that many governments have used. Yeah.
And so this is why papers like this are so important to challenge that. I want to ask you briefly if you can talk us through this this image included in the paper.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is really kind of a very, very basic overview of why the vaccines have failed. And in the paper, we provide a really detailed explanation of all this. But the coronavirus, if you go up to the upper left there, the viral evolution part of it, the coronavirus is always mutating. So it's constantly changing. And if you create a vaccine to something that is constantly changing, it quickly becomes ineffective because it's based on the previous version of the virus. It's so the vaccine is already outdated by the time you get it out there, because the virus is mutated, right? And then the next part of that is that the viruses are escaping the immune system, which is stimulated by the vaccine. That's why we call those immune escape variants. And those are being released out into the public. So we actually have new versions of the virus, new variants that are generated in response to the vaccines. And then, of course, that creates, this urgency, because we see, that one didn't work, so now you better get injected again because, you had the old vaccine, but we got a new one for you. So it gets into this multiple injections situation. And that's what leads to the immune dysfunction. When you get frequent injections, you get immune dysfunction. And it, on multiple levels, the antibodies, you get the IgG4 antibodies, which are immune suppressive. You get exhaustion of the T cells, which promotes autoimmune disease and cancer. And all of that immune dysfunction is completely documented. We absolutely know that it's happening.
Nathaniel, you mentioned before that really there's this that COVID has been scapegoated, and there is this control of this narrative, and those of us who've been paying attention are well aware of that. What is happening with the paper? I mean, like I said, it's made it to the mainstream media. Can you see? Is it being downloaded en masse? Is there a control of this as well?
Yeah, it's Curious, C-U-R-E-U-S, it sounds like cure us, one word. As a peer-reviewed journal, was accepted for publication in that journal after an extensive peer review process where we had 8 independent reviewers, we had several medical editors. It was an exhaustive process over many months. And when that was finally accepted and published on January 24th, my colleagues and I knew that there was a risk that the pharmaceutical industry would come down on the publisher, put pressure on the publisher to get this paper retracted. So every single day for weeks, we saw the trolls from the vaccine industry come onto the website and say very negative, misleading, and frankly, insulting things about my co-authors and about what we were trying to do. And they just kept at it over and over again. So we knew that they were putting a huge amount of pressure on the publisher, which is Springer Nature. That's the publisher behind the journal, to get this paper retracted. And this has become a standard practice now. Actually, it's becoming a way to censor scientists who are trying to come out with information that helps the public, because it's alerting the public to the safety issues of these products. But at the same time, it will very much challenge the pharmaceutical industry, because all they really cared about is the bottom line. They want to protect their profit margins. And this has been the biggest boondoggle for the vaccine industry ever. You know, I mean, they've made hundreds of billions, really trillions, according to some estimates, through American tax dollars and government, you know, funding throughout the world, and then private funding. And so our paper, we just found out today, has been retracted, which is really tragic for the world, I think, because, you know, we put this information together in a way to help the public understand why they were misled regarding the original Pfizer and Moderna trials, and then what transpired after the rushed authorization process, showing that these products are definitely not safe and actually quite dangerous to many, many people. And we estimated that more people have died from these COVID injections and from COVID itself by a huge amount. Even very conservatively, we would say 5 to 6 times as many deaths have been can be attributed to the mRNA vaccines than to the coronavirus. So the numbers are not even close.
Let me ask you then, Nathaniel, because you've been researching this for some time. This is a huge industry. There is a huge effort to silence anyone who dares to tell the truth about mRNA and the devastating effects that it's caused thus far. They want to put it in lettuce. They want to put it in food. They want to put it in basically every single medication moving forward. They want to treat cancer with the mRNA that caused the cancer. And so your conclusion, based on your research, do you think that this technology needs to be halted immediately and no further use of it anywhere again, never to be seen again?
Well, I don't know about the future, but I can tell you that, yes, absolutely, these products need to be taken off the market. They should be considered experimental and placed in the context, as they have been for the past 30 years. mRNA vaccines have been used as an experimental cancer treatment. And in fact, they were in many of those published peer-reviewed papers. If you go back and look at them over the past 20 years, at least, they're often referred to interchangeably as gene therapy products because of the fact that they stimulate the body through genetic mechanisms to produce proteins that can be therapeutic by stimulating the immune system in specific ways. So this is how they should be continued to be framed. If the pandemic had not come along, and if the vaccine industry had not prevented people from getting early treatments, which would have prevented 85% of all the deaths in 2020, if the vaccine industry had not done that, and the governments had not supported them in doing that, we would still be talking about the mRNA vaccines as experimental products in the context of cancer treatment. So If you know, maybe there are specific situations in cancer treatment where it may be okay, because remember, in cancer treatment, people are talking about a very life-threatening disease in many cases, and then they're talking about the potential benefits of a treatment that could be very toxic, like chemotherapy, you know, or radiotherapy. Right. So that's a whole different way of a whole different context. The problem with these vaccines is that, you know, especially for young people, the risk of dying was extremely low. And so there was no justification for using something that is actually increasing the risk of dying substantially.
Absolutely. And, you know, I just think that with all the safety signals that we've seen, with all of the real experts that have spoken out that are not big mouthpieces for Big Pharma saying this needs to be halted immediately, we should heed that advice. Nathaniel, could you please let people know where to find you, where to follow your work?
Well, what I would like to do is encourage people to follow my colleague, the senior author on my paper, Peter McCullough, because he has a website called Courageous Discourse. It's a Substack. So I would encourage you to please, get on that Substack, and then also follow him on X, because he is, you know, Peter McCullough is an amazing, courageous person, and I'm so honored to have worked with him. I am working on my own website. I took my old website down prior to publication of this paper because I knew that the industry would be coming after me. So I wanted to, but I'm supporting Peter McCullough all the way. He's an amazing person. He's probably the most published scientist one of the most published scientists in the world by far, an absolutely brilliant cardiologist.
He is wonderful. He's a regular guest of ours and a good friend. So we are very, very appreciative. Thank you, Nathaniel, for your time today.
Thanks very much.
Even the statement that Nathaniel just made regarding the known gene therapy application of mRNA for the treatment of cancer could be illegal in future if the UN and World Health Organization have their way, because governments have repeatedly denied that this is what the COVID injections are. Open, robust discussion and the scientific method would be criminalized, and the public would be left in the dark, not able to hear even the slightest bit of dissent. They're building a dangerous world, and this is why we have to keep sharing all the knowledge that challenges the official narrative. Now a message from our sponsor, The Wellness Company. Everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner, they keep telling us. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's where The Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even to a bioweapon like the plague, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to help keep you and your family safe. Go to twc.health/blackout today and order. That's twc.health/blackout and use the promo code blackout to save 10%. Our next story is a shocker. Must watch. Leaked recordings reveal massive global influence and election interference operation. Guest post by Jim Hoft in a series of explosive videos released by Marga Babe on X, high-profile figures have been caught on camera discussing behind-the-scenes activities related to US foreign policy. The recordings reveal a concerted effort to influence political outcomes in Poland, Hungary, Brazil, Turkey, and beyond. The leaked conversations feature shocking admissions from several key players, including retired General Wesley Clark, former Supreme Allied Commander Europe of NATO. General Wesley Clark, a key figure in NATO's history, is seen discussing his involvement with billionaire financier George Soros in Ukraine back in 2014. Clark's revelations provide an unprecedented glimpse into the covert operations and strategies deployed in the region, which have long been subject to speculation and debate. The spotlight also falls on Action for Democracy, an enigmatic organization with the stated goal of promoting the Democratic Party's foreign policy agenda across the globe. Action for Democracy, a Chicago-registered 501c4 nonprofit, purportedly received contributions totaling over $11 million, as detailed in a recent IRS filing, which is linked there. According to its website, democracy, while a local affair governed independently within the confines of the nation state, is an idea that has global consequences and that we believe requires global attention. The idea is simple: to express and make local democratic concerns global concerns. Whether it's anti-LGBT laws in Poland or cracking down on independent media in Brazil, A4D functions as a global platform for amplifying the voices and raising awareness of critical national struggles against anti-democratic forces. And we all know what their version of democracy is. Anyone that dares to challenge the official narrative and propaganda arm known as the mainstream media, the propaganda arm of the government. Our mission is to activate the power of our citizens and build a global pro-democracy solidarity movement committed to promoting democratic values and institutions and pushing back against the rising threat of autocracy worldwide. These people, the governments of today aligned with the World Economic Forum, are the ones who are pushing autocracy. Give me a break. United, we mobilize material and financial support for and advocate for more robust support of pro-democracy actors on the ground in the battleground states in the global fight for democracy. The organization has been accused of using its status to conceal major donations from George Soros while participating in the manipulation of electoral outcomes across various countries, including Poland and Hungary. The leaked footage features in-depth discussions with David Corragne, the board president, and the executive director, alongside insights from Katie Marden, a member of the advisory council and widow of the renowned diplomat Richard Holbrooke. The Gateway Pundit has written about Corragne and his links to Soros funding in the past. The conversations reveal that the organization secretly bankrolled by George Soros has been at the forefront of shaping political landscapes far beyond the United States borders, operating under the radar with a dark money agenda. The videos expose a concerted effort by Democratic operatives, including Eric Koch, Julia Agar, and others, to establish a parallel foreign policy network. This network's activities, which are aimed at meddling in foreign elections and launching aggressive media campaigns in the US against foreign conservative leaders, highlight a deliberate strategy to advance the interests of the Democratic Party's major donors. You can see the videos here linked inside the article. We encourage everyone to watch those. Exclusive, check out what Soros is up to in Europe. His own Democrat operatives reveal how Soros throws around money to topple national governments and unleash chaos in the Ukraine. Watch them, admit it all, then you'll understand his Texas plans, Megababe wrote. This expose is especially important considering every single country feels like their government is not accurately representing the people. In fact, they're working in lockstep to destroy their countries. There's a reason for that. These videos confirm there are dark forces working behind multiple governments and countries like Ukraine, Africa, Turkey, and many others are included. Again, we encourage everyone to head to the article in the description and take a look at these videos for yourself. Our next story, Jeffrey Epstein had a secret surveillance room to monitor and record his guests. In late 2019, Jeffrey Epstein victim Maria Farmer alleged that the deceased pedophile had a media room on the first floor where high-profile Johns were allegedly recorded having sex with women and children. So if you're facing the house, there's a window on the right that's barred. That's the room. The media room is what he called it, Farmer said. And so there was a door that looked like an invisible door with all this limestone and everything, and you push it and you go in, and I saw all the cameras. Maria said what it was like old televisions, basically, like stacked. There were monitors inside this cabinet, and there were men sitting here, and I looked on the cameras and I saw toilet, toilet, bed, bed, toilet, bed. In 2020, a former jewel thief who says that he had group sex with Ghislaine Maxwell but drew the line at underage girls claims he was forced to watch pedo videos involving two high-profile US politicians and two high society figures having a threesome with an underage girl. The jewel thief, who goes by the name William Steele, claims that in the mid-90s he met Epstein in the upstairs room at a very high-end diamond dealer, the kind of place where only a few people are allowed in at a time. I was there doing what I do. I was meeting my fence. I saw Jeff with a young girl who looked only about 13 or 14, and he had his hand in the back of her shorts. That's what first got my attention. She was so young and he was much older. That's when I knew that he was dirty. Now, two women who filed a recent lawsuit in Manhattan federal court are claiming the same. According to the Washington Times, the plaintiffs, Danielle Bensky and Jane Doe 3, say Epstein employed a sophisticated system involving constant CCTV surveillance within his New York mansion. The two women say that Epstein and his circle of enablers collected compromising information in order to keep people quiet, and that the victims received monetary payments described as hush money following abusive incidents or when they acted as recruiters to lure more young women and girls into Epstein's sex trafficking operation. The room worked like a panopticon, a circular prison with cells arranged around a central well from which prisoners can at all times be observed. The lawsuit details that Epstein not only hired individuals to keep watch, but also provided his victims with transportation and communication devices, purportedly under the guise of security and convenience, while allegedly using these means to track their whereabouts. The Epstein enterprise would not have existed for the duration it did and at its scope and scale without the collaboration and support of others, reads the lawsuit. No one, except perhaps convicted Epstein accomplice Maxwell, was essential and central to Epstein's operation as these defendants. Why were Epstein and Ghislaine, daughter of a suspected Mossad asset, recording all of these people again? It's clear now that Jeffrey Epstein was indeed a monster in the true definition of the word. What is still unclear and needs to be answered is who are the people on the end of his blackmail? Why do we still not know? How can it be that Maxwell is still in jail for trafficking children to, what, nobody? Why has Prince Andrew not faced trial or answered in any meaningful way for his association with Jeffrey Epstein? What about all of his other known associates? Not a peep out of Bill Gates, who's still out here pushing vaccines, buying up all the farms and giving everyone medical advice with absolutely no medical qualifications whatsoever, but a definite known tie to a pedophile. I mean, it's ridiculous. These are the questions that must be answered, and many more that no one in government or media have touched. Now, resolving to eat healthier this year was easy, but actually doing it? Not so easy. Better nutrition is a key to health and longevity, and a healthy diet could even help you avoid risks that run in your family. Field of Greens is our healthy superfruit and vegetable habit. It's the only fruit and vegetable product that literally promises better health. At your next checkup, your doctor will notice your improved health or your money back. Do your vitamins or green drinks promise better health? Nope. Each superfruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was doctor-selected for specific health benefits. Some support your heart, lungs, and kidneys. Others support metabolism for healthy energy and weight loss. If you resolve to get healthier in 2024, it starts with Field of Greens. We got you 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code blackout. That's promo code blackout at fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com. People often wonder, who are they? Who are the ones who are pulling the strings, the ones controlling it all? We know that the United Nations and the World Health Organization are behind much of the tyranny and the destruction that we see in every single country. But Dr. David Martin has revealed who's pulling the strings behind the World Health Organization. Who are they exactly? Dr. Martin says, we have to name the names in the worst miscarriage of medical science in history. Is it the World Health Organization? Well, Tedros is just a puppet, according to Dr. David Martin, with a giant stick up his rear end. Let's take a listen to what he says.
This is a criminal conspiracy. And I'm not saying that from the standpoint of conspiracy theory. I'm saying that from the definition of what it means to be a criminal conspiracy. And so if you ask the question, which is a legitimate thing to do, was the FDA, was the CDC following orders from the WHO? The answer is asterisk almost. But who were they really following orders from? And that's where you get into the nasty answer, which is the answer was that interlocking directorate, that violation of antitrust laws, that corporate machine, not health, not, you know, we're out for the good of humanity. That corporate criminal conspiratorial organization that was guilty at the time of racketeering, was guilty at the time of interlocking directorates, all felonies, was guilty at the time of price fixing, another felony, which was guilty at the time of actually suppressing commercial alternatives, which is called market allocation, another felony. That criminal organization announced that it was going to take over the world, and they did. But we have to name the names. It wasn't just the World Health Organization. Anybody thinks that Tedros is smart enough to pull this off is delusional. He's a puppet, and there's a giant stick up his ass, which is what's making his mouth move. But who's moving the stick for the puppet? And that is Welcome, Gates, and Rockefeller.
So he says the answer, according to Dr. Martin, Bill Gates, the Wellcome Trust, and the Rockefeller Foundation. He goes on to say that by 2023, which is kind of where we are right now, Gates represents 88% of the donations to the World Health Organization from donor organizations and agencies. By any definition, that's a controlling interest. Bill Gates is no philanthropist. He's laundering money into the World Health Organization. And when Gates and others state that having vaccinations where they are needed could potentially lead to as much as a 20% reduction in the Earth's population, according to Dr. Martin, those are not allegations. Those are stated objectives. Dr. Phil has dropped bombshell discoveries from the southern border. In an eye-opening interview on the Joe Rogan Experience Tuesday, Dr. Phil told the world's most popular podcast host that he was shocked by what he saw at the southern border. In a viral video earlier this month, Dr. Phil called the border crisis a humanitarian crisis unlike anything we've seen before. He outlined why that is and more in his 2.5-hour discussion with Rogan. According to Dr. Phil, border control agents have essentially become social workers for illegal immigrants. He says that they went down there to be guards, and they say what we're doing now instead of apprehending these people is we're greeting these people and we're processing them and giving them money and resources. And then he also distinguishes between the stark difference in behavior between the Texas guards, which wear brown uniforms, and federal guards in green uniforms. And he says that if you are apprehended by a brown uniform, you get arrested, processed, and sent back. But if you're apprehended by a green uniform, you get arrested, processed, and given a court date in 4 years, 7 years, or whatever, and released into the country. So naturally, these illegals are fleeing to the green uniforms and running away from the brown uniforms. While down at the southern border, Brandon Judd, the Border Control Union lead head, told Dr. Phil the southern border doesn't need more money, more agents, or even new legislation. No, he says the only thing that's required at the southern border is for the Biden administration to allow guards to do their jobs. He, Brandon Judd, said, we don't need more money, we don't need more agents, we don't need new legislation, we just need you to let us do our job. We just need you to apply the laws that exist now and we'll be fine. I said, wait a minute, you're telling me you don't need more money or more agents? He said, no, just let us do our job, just use the legislation that's on the books and we're fine. Dr. Phil also revealed that the illegal Chinese immigration, including military-aged men, has skyrocketed at an absurd rate at the southern border. His fear is that this mass influx could potentially lead to coordinated attacks on critical infrastructure to cause widespread chaos, such as the energy grid. He says that they tell me between 2010 and 2020, they had about 1,100 to 1,500 Chinese come across the border. And in the first 11 months of 2023, they had about 33,000 come across the border. Let's listen to this short clip.
In talking to the union guy who's head of the union for all of the guards, it was interesting. I asked him, what do you need? What do you need down here to do your job? His name is Brandon Judd. And he said, we don't need more money. We don't need more agents. We don't need new legislation. We just need you to let us do our job. We just need you to apply the laws that exist now, and we'll be fine. You don't need... I said, wait a minute, you're telling me you don't need more money or more agents? He said, no, just let us do our job. If you just, we had in place a hold in Mexico instead of come over here, just use the legislation that's on the books and we're fine.
The El Salvador president blasts Soros in a fiery speech at CPAC. He says, who elected Soros to dictate public policy and laws? Why does he feel entitled to impose his agenda? Let me tell you something. Soros and his cronies hit a brick wall in El Salvador. Bukele blasted Soros, globalism, and the American financial system in a fiery address at the Conservative Political Action Conference. Bukele, who won re-election by a staggering 84% of the vote, said of globalism, it's already dead, adding that in America, dark forces are taking over your country. He said that the reason El Salvador ended up becoming the murder capital of the world was that people were not equipped to understand just how radically their society was changing because it happened over a period of decades, one increment at a time. Bukele likened this to boiling a frog, saying that if you keep turning up the heat and slowly boil the frog, it won't realize what is happening until it is too late. The Latin American president urged Americans to not despair, however, as you can still jump before the water boils. Bukele later explained that in El Salvador, the 12-year-long communist-inspired civil war broke out and that he can clearly see the signs of a declining country when he looks at America. They were setting the gang members free, he said of his home country, adding that in order to clean up El Salvador, he had to remove corrupt judges, corrupt attorneys, and corrupt prosecutors. Can we see the clear parallels with the United States, everyone? He singled out Baltimore, where crime and drugs have become the daily norm, and asked the crowd if they could have imagined the fentanyl epidemic 10 years ago. Bukele then took aim at globalist billionaire George Soros, who has funded a nationwide campaign to install soft-on-crime district attorneys in major US cities. Thank God and all glory be to him, El Salvadorians are now immune to Soros influence, he continued. Let's take a listen to this clip.
Unelected bureaucrats are trying to instate public policy. Who elected them? They don't have a democratic mandate. If they want a seat in the table, they should run for office. Let the people vote. It will not be a pretty sight for them. If the elections are free and fair. I mean, who elected Soros to dictate public policy and laws? Why does he feel entitled to impose his agenda? Let me tell you something. Soros and his cronies hit a brick wall in El Salvador. Thank God, and all the glory be to him, Salvadorans are now immune to his influence. No one believes his lies anymore over there.
Bukele then exclaimed that his anti-globalist policies have worked to turn El Salvador into the safest country in the Western Hemisphere. He outlined that globalists like Soros don't just back district attorneys, but manipulate public opinion through institutional control of media and political campaigns, and that Americans must fight against it with all their heart and soul. The people of El Salvador have woken up, and so can you, he said. The global elites, they hate our success and they fear yours. The people's free will to choose their leaders is something they despise because they cannot control it. He then warned that the American financial system is more fragile than people think. And who buys the treasury bonds? Bukele asked. Mostly the Fed. And how does the Fed buy them, he asked? By printing them. So basically, you finance the government by printing money out of thin air, he continued, asserting that Americans are paying high taxes to uphold the illusion that you're funding the government. But the government is funding itself by money printing. Paper backed with paper. A bubble that will inevitably burst. If that happens, he says, confidence in your currency would be lost, the dollar would fall, and Western civilization with it. According to Bukele, it's not too late for America to right the ship, and we believe the same. It's not too late because people are realizing the truth. Now, Henry Kissinger once said, who controls the food supply can control the people. Today, the beef industry in America is under attack. Cows have been targeted by the purveyors of the climate change hoax in an effort to promote lab-grown meat, bugs, and other alternative proteins. It behooves Americans to start building up their own stockpiles of long-term storage beef. The problem there is that the vast majority of survival beef is horrible. They use low-quality cuts and beef crumbles that are barely edible. At VigilantBeef.com, Americans can get premium cuts like ribeye, New York strip, and tenderloin. It's freeze-dried, not dehydrated, which gives it a 25-year shelf life and retains the maximum nutrition and flavor. VigilantBeef.com is a veteran-owned, America-first company out of Texas. Our listeners can save 15% by using promo code BLACKOUT at VigilantBeef.com. That's promo code BLACKOUT at VigilantBeef.com. Well, mass migration is not only a problem in the United States. It's happening in every country. In the US, there are illegals flooding the border. But in other Western nations, the borders are being flooded legally. Australia saw an increase of over 317,000 migrants entering the country in 2023. That may not sound like a lot, but for a country with a population of only approximately 26 million, it has had devastating impacts on the country, the housing crisis being one of the main issues. Mainstream media outlets love to whinge about the fact that this is happening, but no one seems to be able to identify where the problem is coming from. Well, as usual, most issues can be traced back to the United Nations. This migration problem is actually an official UN agenda and publication. It's called Replacement Migration, and the agenda is in the name. The goal is to destroy the identity of nations by flooding them with migrants, destroy the fabric of society, thus demoralizing its citizens, destroy housing so that people can be corralled into smart city communal living apartments, and perhaps most importantly, to replace you. But that doesn't sound very appealing, so they have to introduce the idea of replacement migration by creating a crisis and then forcing a solution on you. That brings us to this next shocking story out of the UK. An elderly UK couple have been ordered to sell their home to house migrants. An elderly English couple was shocked to receive a letter from their county's council ordering them to sell their home to house migrants. The North Northamptonshire Council sent a strongly worded letter to Josie and Ted Saunders in January claiming their £200,000 home could be subject to compulsory purchase from the government to be used to house young migrant men. "I couldn't believe it," said retired carer Josie, 76. "We moved to Rushton to help provide childcare for my granddaughter and found this nice little place to live. What on earth is the council doing, forcing people to sell their houses? And even an empty house is owned by someone so that asylum seekers can live in them?" she asked. "The answer to this is to stop them coming in the first place, not to force people out of their homes. The idea of forcing us to sell it to make room for refugees and asylum seekers seems totally wrong," she added. Let's take a listen to this clip.
"So this letter was from the council, and you got this on the 12th of January. You moved in November, didn't you?
Yeah.
And you got this letter. And just spell out what this letter says."
"That letter says that they, because the property is derelict, that they can compulsory purchase it. If there's any repairs to be done in it, they could take it off the price of the property."
"Yeah.
And these properties are for migrants of..."
"It's absolutely extraordinary, isn't it? And how did you feel when you got a letter? You moved into your new wonderful home, you settled down, law-abiding citizens, and you get a compulsory purchase order from the council accusing you of occupying a derelict home. How did you feel when you got this?"
"I had to pay £200,000 for it, but didn't feel very well."
"No, it must have been one hell of a shock, mustn't it?"
It's for the immigrant and not the indigenous population.
Yeah. Well, veterans are sleeping rough.
Yeah.
16,000 veterans.
In terrible weather.
Absolutely.
They can't get put in hotels or on a baby stock home.
There is a Daylight Centre charity in Wellingborough, which looks after homeless people who are sleeping rough. And they spend £630 per annum per head. Illegal migrants get paid £50,000. They get spent on them £50,000 per annum per head. And here we have the evidence of it in this letter. They wanted your lovely new home.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
The letter, headed Empty Properties and Sites Initiative, had their exact address in bold and stated, "We are writing as we have reason to believe that the above-named premises is empty or unused. The government has identified empty privately owned properties as a potential cause of blight within communities and as a wasted resource at a time of high housing need." The letter continued that the council was seeing a considerable increase in positive immigration decisions being made in favour of asylum seekers, mainly single men, and the authority was struggling to source suitable accommodation for them. It said the council could make a compulsory purchase order on the property. Now, following backlash, the council soon apologised for the error, but blamed pressure to find accommodation for migrants on Home Office speeding up asylum claims. Now, whether this was an error or not, or whether the house was inhabited or not, the fact that councils now have the permission to force people to sell their homes in order to house migrants is absolutely shocking. This rule, once being forced on the people for the purpose of building a highway or a major infrastructure, is now being weaponised against homeowners. One may question, does one really own their home or not anymore? In the state of Victoria in Australia, legislation and higher taxes have been introduced for investment property owners to be able to be dictated by the government what they do with their own property. If it is vacant for a determined period of time, they must pay tax due to the housing crisis that the government caused. This predominantly United Nations-driven agenda is spreading worldwide and must be stopped. The government overreach and encroachment on people in their private property is now setting new precedents and, for the most part, can be described as nothing short of tyrannical. Our next story, warning, self-spreading vaccines are closer than you think. Investigative reporter Jeffrey Jackson brought to light an alarming reality on the high wire Thursday, the ability to quote-unquote vaccinate the entire world without injecting large amounts of the population is upon us. What we're referring to is self-spreading vaccines, a technology that was almost ready to be deployed for the coronavirus pandemic, but ultimately passed for mRNA injections instead. Let's take a listen to what he has to say.
And in 2018, this is literally a year, almost a year to the day that Johns Hopkins had Event 201, which was a fictitious coronavirus that swept across the world and caused all kinds of lockdowns and deaths. So 1 year before that, they start searching for these great new technologies. One of them, one of the key ones in this report is this. I'll read right from the report. Self-spreading vaccines, also known as transmissible or self-propagating vaccines, are genetically engineered to move through populations in the same way as communicable diseases, but rather than causing disease, they confer protection. Now, fast forward, the world has now heard of COVID. We're searching for a vaccine. It's 2020. The Telegraph puts out this article. Could self-spreading vaccines stop a coronavirus pandemic? So understand, this idea, this technology was in the mix for a possible chosen technology. We could have all had this technology already in 2020, but it was not chosen then. Didn't mean it went away. So we go into this article here and it says this. Dr. Amish Adalia, a senior scholar at Johns Hopkins University, says the outbreak of the coronavirus may have come too soon for the technology. Dr. Adalia says the method of vaccination will throw serious medical ethics questions. His view is endorsed by the Department of Health, which explored the technology in a presentation late last year. In a study from November, the department stated that self-spreading techniques could eliminate vaccine delay. So I want everyone to pay attention to this.
That's you.
First time they talk
everyone
about this.
Everyone watching this show right now, that's you. You're a problem now. They have a solution. They're going to create a man-made virus that will sweep the earth. They'll call it a vaccine. They're now directly in competition with God himself. Their virus beats out, you know, the natural virus. And this is how you're going to be protected. And there'll be nothing you can do to stop it.
So it would be naive to think 4 years later that global health authorities wouldn't push for the use of self-spreading vaccines in the event of another quote-unquote global health crisis. The only thing stopping the mass use of this technology is this pesky thing known as informed consent, but the reality is, as evidenced by the COVID era, informed consent is not what it used to be. The whole idea behind self-spreading vaccines is largely grounded in circumventing informed consent, or what scientists like to refer to as behavioral barriers. But the question many have been asking is, did they already circumvent informed consent and utilize self-spreading vaccines during COVID? Well, according to Pfizer, they did. And it's hidden deep within this Pfizer document. A phase 1-2-3 placebo-controlled, randomized, observer-blind dose-finding study to evaluate the safety, tolerability, immunogenicity, and efficacy of SARS-CoV-2 RNA vaccine candidates against COVID-19 in healthy individuals. This report refers to it as occupational exposure and admits that it could lead to serious adverse events. It says, an occupational exposure occurs when a person receives unplanned direct contact with the study intervention, meaning that person participating in the study, which may or may not lead to the occurrence of an adverse event. Such persons may include healthcare providers, family members, and other roles that are involved in the trial participants' care. The investigator must report occupational exposure to Pfizer safety within 24 hours of the investigator's awareness, regardless of whether there is an associated serious adverse event. They actually make reference to exposure during breastfeeding as well. And exposure during breastfeeding occurs if a female participant is found to be breastfeeding while receiving or after discontinuing study intervention. A female is found to be breastfeeding while being exposed or having been exposed to study intervention, i.e. environmental exposure. An example of environmental exposure during breastfeeding is a female family member or healthcare provider who reports that she is breastfeeding after having been exposed to the study intervention by inhalation or skin contact. So it appears from Pfizer's own admission that they've already experimented with what many refer to as shedding and discussed that this can lead to serious adverse events. The question is, how far did this phenomenon spread through the COVID injections and how much have they perfected it for round two of whatever health crisis they're planning next? One thing is certain. If the WHO has its way, every person on Earth will be subjected to ongoing human experimentation. This is why every country must exit the WHO for good. Now, scientists have studied the Swampy Cree Native American tribe for years, wondering how they maintain such exceptional health. In addition to a diet of simple, natural, and raw foods, the Cree's ancient practice of consuming bison organs is credited with their exceptional health. Their bison organs are one of the most nutrient-rich, bioavailable, and sustainable sources of vital nutrients known to man. These bison organs are Mother Nature's miracle, providing nutritional and hormonal support like no other food source on Earth, and now they are available to us from the great company Naked Organs. Bison Trifecta, the company's best-selling product, supports heart health, cognitive function, athletic performance, nurtures liver health, provides immune support, and combats inflammation. Go to holisticgoddess.com/blackout and order today. Use promo code blackout to save an additional 10%. Our next story, Mike Benz presents damning evidence that the 2020 election was rigged 7 months in advance. Censorship expert Mike Benz made a damning case on Tucker Carlson Uncensored that the rig was in for the 2020 election 7 months ahead of time. This involved, as Benz described, a government-coordinated mass censorship campaign spanning every single social media platform on Earth in order to pre-censor the ability to dispute the legitimacy of mail-in ballots. Carlson asked Benz, "So what you're saying is, what you're suggesting is, they knew the outcome of the election 7 months before it was held?" And Benz answered, "It looks very bad." So how did they do it? Well, according to Benz, a concerted effort starting in April of 2020 was made by a coalition involving the DHS, NATO, the DNC, and other entities to launch a mass censorship campaign across all social media platforms. This campaign aimed to preemptively censor any disputes over the legitimacy of mail-in ballots. Four key institutions were part of this effort: Stanford University, the University of Washington, Graphica, and the Atlantic Council. Benz depicted these entities as Pentagon cutouts, suggesting they were operating under the influence or direction of the Pentagon to carry out what government was banned from doing itself. The aforementioned entities pressured and compelled social media companies to adopt a new category of speech violation termed delegitimization. This policy was broad in scope, encompassing any form of content that could be interpreted as challenging the legitimacy of mail-in voting, early voting drop boxes, or the tabulation of ballots on election day. This pressure was not merely advisory, but was backed by the implication of potential government force or repercussions for non-compliance, and direct communication channels with tech company executives were also established to expedite the processing of takedown requests. As a consequence, this concerted censorship effort led to the removal or throttling of potentially hundreds of millions of posts, particularly those questioning the security of mail-in ballots. Let's take a listen.
Now, they did this 7 months before the election, because at the time they were worried about the perceived legitimacy of a Biden victory in the case of a so-called red mirage, blue shift event. They knew the only way that Biden would be able to would win mathematically was through the disproportionate Democrat use of mail-in ballots. They knew there would be a crisis because it was going to look extremely weird if Trump looked like he won by seven states in and then 3 days later it comes out actually the election switch. I mean, that would put the election crisis of the Bush-Gore election on a level of steroids that the national security state said, well, the public will not be prepared for. So what we need to do is we need to pre-censor the ability to even question the legitimacy. This took out.
Wait. May I ask you to pause right there?
Key influences,
so what you're saying is, what you're suggesting is, they knew the outcome of the election 7 months before it was held.
It looks very bad.
This is actually the most comprehensive and important interview I've listened to date on how censorship actually works. So we encourage everyone to go and watch that full interview with Tucker Carlson and Mike Benz on the article. Our top story tonight, the CDC does not want you to see this data, but a legal battle between the CDC and Aaron Seary has given us further insight. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, tried to keep its VSafe data hidden, but the U.S. Health Agency lost a legal battle with ICANN attorney Aaron Seary back in September of 2022. This decision mandated the CDC to provide 390,000 entries a month starting February 15, 2024 and continuing every month thereafter for the entire year. Now, the first 390,000 free text submissions from the VSafe Vaccine Safety Monitoring System are available to the public. This is what the data shows so far.
These numbers, it could become a lot higher once we have the full, all the entries for each individual. But based on these entries, it looks like there's about 1 in 1,300 individuals in at least this first few day period reported Bell's palsy.
Wow.
About 1 in 906 reported disturbances in their normal menstrual cycle. 1 in 450 apparently reported shingles. 1 in 160 reported tinnitus or ringing in the ears, which
wow.
can be a devastating life condition. 1 in 143 apparently reported heart palpitations after vaccination. And so, you know, and this is just based on the initial few days apparently of reports from many of these individuals. Once we have all of the first week and all the 6 weeks of their reports, these numbers might go higher. And I think this is reflective of why the CDC fought so hard, because this is probably the best reflection of what the true safety profile is, because the pharma company,
we have a control. We know this is a controlled space. Right? It's 10 million people. 10 million people got it. How many of them had issues? We can have real percentages from this.
So as Big Tree stated, this is a huge feat, finally securing a controlled database that's available to the public. It is a critical step toward uncovering the real safety profile of the so-called COVID-19 vaccines. We have a control. We know it's a controlled space. It's 10 million people. How many of them had issues? We can have real percentages from this. Now, earlier this week, when the MSM was discussing the study, safety concerns based on the study we covered at the start of the broadcast, I said, you know, I know that there is a portion of the population that still need to hear it from the MSM. But it didn't take a peer-reviewed study for the rest of us to know that these injections were harmful, although peer-reviewed studies are important and needed. But it took listening to and platforming the real experts, the ones who told the truth from the beginning. Now, who are the real experts? Well, the real experts are the ones who followed the scientific method, asking questions, not giving us definitive conclusions like the science is settled. The expert is the one asking the questions. Now, we're grateful to all of those experts who've worked tirelessly despite government censorship and big pharma cartel coming after them. We're also grateful for all of the people joining the fight today. Make no mistake. The fight for health freedom is absolutely crucial because it is one of the core things that those orchestrating the Great Reset seek to control. And we won't let them. And that's all that we have time for this evening. Thank you all for tuning in. Let us know your thoughts in the comments below and please repost this everywhere. Let's saturate a world of lies with the truth. Make sure to follow Vigilant Fox and Vigilant News on X. Check vigilantnews.com for regular news updates. And you can also find me on X at Z Media. That's Z with 3 E's underscore media. We'll see you next Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern. Until then, stay informed, stay vigilant.
We'll be right back.